wonderful book. And we need to focus on the Word of God. And the we quote the scripture where the kings of Israel, when they were anointed, crowned, they had to, one of the first things that they had to do was to get a copy of the law and write their own, so they would have it and meditate. Just like when I'm writing out the word in Joshua, you think that Joshua was writing his words, his own word? No, he copied the law that was laid up, the scrolls, and he meditated in that. So that's what we're doing here. We're copying the scroll. That's all I'm doing. And writing it in order, line upon line, precept. Here's one scripture scattered over here, but I go over and find another one that goes close to it. So when you read it now, you get the mind of God. And you'll understand what God is going to do and what he's doing. And I'm not just writing it for a few days, but that goes all the way back to the everlasting kingdom of God, when we come down and the last enemy that is to be destroyed, there's enemies, and the last one that is to be destroyed is death. That is, death is an enemy. And First Corinthians, is it chapter 20, tells us that the last enemy that is to be destroyed is death. The last enemy in 1 Corinthians, you have it in 15 first. If you find that for me in 1 Corinthians 15, where it tells you that, and it goes on, where since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection. And I want to encourage you to spend a lot of time reading 1 Corinthians 15, because it's one of the greatest chapters. Yes, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse 24, where well, let me go to verse 21, right? He said, for since by man came death, the death came into the family by Adam. When Adam sinned, that brought death into the human family. For since by man came death, it took another man to remove it. See, it could not be an angel, but it had to be a man with the nature of man, who could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He had to become one of us. And that's why Jesus Christ came. He was exalted above in Philippians. Hold your fingers there, but in Philippians, the second chapter of Philippians, where it speaks about we should have the mind of Christ. Let this mind, for me to have the mind of Christ means I have the mind of God. And you don't get the mind of Christ by just sitting there and looking and even reading a lot of books. But you get the mind of Christ or the mind of God by reading and studying and meditating in the Word of God. Consider what I said, Paul. Paul mentioned that. And we had that Sunday morning. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding. That would be the Lord give you the mind of Christ. The Lord give you the mind to understand the things of God. But you have to consider or meditate upon what I say. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So I have to find out what is the mind. Okay, because there's a lot of things that can be in your mind which is not God. A lot of thoughts can be in a person's mind and it's not God. He said, who being in the form of God, Jesus Christ was in the form of God. He was the very image, the Son of God. Who being in the form of God, the image, the brightness, the likeness of God, he had the nature of God. And he says, that who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. When did he do that? When he became a man. You see, when he became a man, he stepped down. He did not take the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. Okay? Jesus Christ took on him the seed of Abraham. Can you hold your finger right there and go to Matthew chapter 1? Just turn your fingers, hold your fingers right there and go to show you who Jesus Christ is and was and how he took upon himself the human nature. And my Bible is sticking, but in the first chapter of the book of Matthew, you find that?
Yes.
Chapter 1, verse 1. Somebody read it. The book. Notice, let's all read. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. So, notice. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. That's powerful, isn't it? The son of David, the son of Abraham. Isn't that wonderful? So there it links Jesus to Abraham and David. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. What? Where's the book? This book. Matthew was only a small part that explained that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Notice that. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of Abraham. And he's the seed of the woman. It's amazing, isn't it? And he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. He became a man for us, and I only want that one verse right now. But in Philippians, it says that chapter 2. It says, verse 7 now, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Yes, he was. He carried our sins. He served us. He died for us. He bore the cross. Amen? Not only did he wash us, make us clean, make us white, he took upon him the form of a servant and was made, notice, what was he made like? He was made in the likeness of men. Hold that in your mind. Let's repeat it. He was made in the likeness of men. Now, when God started out, God says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. You get it? But notice, for God to do that, he himself had to be in our likeness. We could not go to him, but he had to come to us and bring us to himself. Jesus Christ came to bring us to God. So the original and the intent and the purpose of God is that we become like Christ. But we could not do it. We could not go forward in him. No man can come unto me unless the Father draw him. So Christ had to come down, forget and laid his glory aside, and took upon him a lesser glory, the glory of man, and became one of us. And he was made, notice, in the likeness, Genesis 1, 26, 27, the likeness, he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became, read it, are you reading? And became obedient unto death. What verse is it? Verse 8. Okay. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. All right. Wherefore, God. Notice, wherefore God Because he done all that, and he begin to fulfill the purpose of God in bringing man in the image of God by becoming a man, by taking on the likeness of a man. He took our likeness in order that he would give us the likeness of God. Being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He said that no one takes my life, but I lay down my life. Christ laid down his life for us. Nobody could take his life away from him. Wherefore? Because he done that. Because he done that. Because he did that. Wherefore God, who, a God also, had highly exalted him and given him a name, or that name or a nature that's when he lay down, he took up immortality. See, when he went back, he took up immortality. God gave him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things on the earth. And that every tongue, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Notice, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that powerful? See, so, and before I go further in Hebrews, I think the first chapter, if you'll help me, of Hebrews, speaks also of that. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. You find it? Okay. And in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heirs of all things. Are you reading?
Yes.
Okay. Verse. Who being the brightness of his glory. Look at what he is. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When, notice what happened. When he had by himself purged our sins. What happened? When he purged our sins, then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of an high. What? So he's an high priest interceding on our behalf. He's our mediator in the presence of God. So he stands for us in the presence of God, delivering us from the accusation of the enemy, the wicked one. Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What you've got to understand, that when Jesus died and when he rose from the dead, he began a new generation, because he became the first fruits of them that slept, or the firstborn from the dead. Okay? So a new race was born. A new race was born to be in the likeness of God. When Jesus died, he imparted that to us. He gave that to us. If you can follow that. Jesus died to deliver us from the power of darkness. I want you to hold your fingers that again. And I go to Colossians. I got so many scriptures in my mind. Colossians chapter 1, to show you what he did. In Colossians chapter 1, this is powerful scripture right here. And let me read a little ahead so you can understand, okay? For this cause, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that he might be filled, or follow this, filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good works and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's a whole lot right there. That's a whole lot right there. Strengthen with all might, according to the glorious power, to his glorious power. That's the Holy Ghost. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Verse 12 now. Giving thanks, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. No, notice what you have to do. No, we don't even do that. We complain and we murmur and we throw fits and we don't humble ourselves. Because the church has lost the fear of God, the reverence and the respect of God. You will never go forward in God until you have the fear of God, where you tremble at his word. But when you can just, and you don't feel no conviction, no nothing at all, you're in trouble. Because what God is going to restore to the church is the fear of God. Reverence. And reverence and fear and respect. And when the church receives that, when you do that, you and I do that, when we do that, there's something that's going to be birthed inside of our spirit. Amen. See? And God is going to begin to do a new work. But we have to fear, tremble at the very presence of Almighty God. But we go and there's no fear of God. When there's no fear of God in your life and before you, then we are in trouble. See, so it says here that and because the fear of God will let me do the next words that I'm going to show you. But without that, we receive some things and we don't remember to give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good. So this verse says that giving, verse 12, look at it. Giving thanks unto the Father. To who? Have you ever given thanks to the Father? Giving thanks. I'm not talking about once in a while. I'm talking about daily. Giving thanks before we complain or murmur. And we get into anger and fits of rage. We begin to thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. In all things, give thanks. That's to the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father. Here's what he did now. This powerful, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. If you understand what he did and understand the scripture, you say, thank you, Lord. But because blindness and darkness is in our minds and we need light, so we don't understand. We don't have the feelings. We don't have the fear of God. So, but the next verse says, who hath, here's what he did, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you know what he did? He delivered you from the world of the devil. He delivered you from the world of darkness, from the power. He said, but I was not in dark. Everybody was in darkness. And it's only the light shining in darkness, Jesus Christ, that brings us out. Without that, you're in darkness. The light shines in darkness. That's the darkness of our hearts. Our minds, the light shines and deliver you. Otherwise, you're dark. You say, well, I can see the light up there. That's not the natural darkness we're talking about. It's spiritual darkness where you cannot understand. You cannot feel God. You don't have a fear of God. Our minds is blank towards God. See, that's what I'm talking about tonight. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness. And what did he do? Read it loud. And at what? He delivered you from one world of darkness. Although you're in the world, but you're not of this world. And he says, walk as children of light. Amen. We are children of the day, children of the light, and not of the dark. The darkness is past. And the true light now shines. And that light is Jesus Christ. So he said, who had delivered us from the power of darkness? What are you going to thank God for? Thank you, Lord, that you've delivered me from the power of darkness. I was dark. I was you who were sometimes darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Have you ever got up and thanked him, Lord? And when you feel something stirring up in your heart, just begin to, that's none of God. Just say, Lord, I thank you for, because that's darkness. And the devil bubbling up a world of darkness and want to get you and pull you back. But look what he done for us. He delivers us. Praise God. He delivers us from the power of darkness or the power of Satan. The darkness of the devil. The darkness from a dark world of sin. And from the fall that Adam put us into. And what did he do? Somebody ought to shout tonight and give God glory. He had translated us. My. He had translated us. Deliver us. And then he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And that's why you need to know the kingdom of God. See what he done? You didn't get that. You're not paying attention. Your mind just went blank. That's what we're trying to say. We want to get your mind. You go boom. You sit there, but you go boom. We don't want the devil to have your mind. We want to gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that the second advent of Christ and the resurrection. So he said, he delivered us from the power of darkness, but look what he did. Look what he did. Enoch walked with God and he was not. God took him. He was translated. Here's what God is still translating people. Amen. That walks with him. And I translated us from, he had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I could stay here all night and speak of that kingdom, because his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. There is no end to his kingdom. And it's the saints of God, it's the saints of the Most High God will take the kingdom and possess the kingdom. And God has prepared for us a kingdom from before the foundation of the world. And the kingdom is for us. And that kingdom is coming to the earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He delivered us from the kingdom, the world of darkness. But one time you didn't love God. You didn't want to go to church. You didn't want to serve God. But tonight, look here, you are. Tonight, look here. You love God. You have a Bible. Look here tonight. And the light is shining in the darkness of our hearts and our mind. And now are we light. Hallelujah. We don't think and act like we used to act. But he translated us into, into the kingdom of his dear son. Jesus Christ has got a kingdom. And it's the kingdom that the Father will give to him at the second advent, when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ rise first. And so that's when the kingdom will be established. When the kingdom is established, it will take the first resurrection and the second coming of Jesus Christ to establish the kingdom. Consider what I say. And the Lord gave you understanding. He translated us from the power, deliver us and translate us into the kingdom of his dear son. When is he going to do that? Somebody say in the future. No, he's done it right now. He done it right now through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost delivers us out of the first Adam. You at he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And he raised us up. Amen. And made us sit together with his son in heavenly places. Amen. And right now, it doeth not yet appear what we shall be like. But now, right now, we are the sons of the living God. We belong to a new race. We belong, Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn from the dead. Okay? He's not talking about he was created, because he's from everlasting to everlasting. Okay? From everlasting to everlasting. And Micah said he's going forth is from a home. So you can't reason that way. See, but what he's talking about is that in Adam all died. That race died. I don't care if you live 100 years. Men live 900 years, but they died. Okay? But the glorious thing is that these all died in faith. Hallelujah. And faith in Christ, in God, produces a new race. So, when Adam sinned, God had another Adam, the last Adam, that he would raise him up And we would made a race from the last Adam. The first Adam was natural, earthly, carnal. But God had a son, that he was spiritual, the Lord from glory. And God would make a new race. And now are we the sons of God. We are children of God. Somebody shout. We are children of the light. And you can clap your hands. You can praise the Lord. You can come alive, even in sorrow. You don't let your sorrow get you down. Don't let nothing get you down. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Thank God for deliverance. He came to set us free, to break the bondage of the devil, and to deliver us. Christ, Hebrews 2, verse 14, tells us that he came to destroy him that had the powers of death. That is the devil. Amen? So, where am I? In Colossians. Yes. Giving thanks. Remember what was on that? Giving thanks unto the Father. And that made, verse 12, and that made us, what made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So, listen. Listen, are you listening now? So, there's a group of people that's already in light. What do you think that means? What do you think that means? Light. God is light. They already gone on. And they're not in darkness, but they're in light. It tells us that. He make us to be partakers with the saints in light. Hebrews says that they without us should not be made perfect. But they're gone on because Abraham was looking. You know what Abraham was looking for? Abraham was looking for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That's what he was looking for. He's searching. And God provided for us a better thing. They cannot be made perfect without us. So we give thanks to God that we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. When you read them and see them over there, when you see Enoch, when you see Elijah and Moses with the Lord transfigure, you know that's the way you're going to be. You know that's what's working on you right now. When you read Hebrews 12 and see that the great company, you know that's where you belong. You know that's where you're heading to Mount Zion. It's called the saints already in light. Amen. The saints in light. God is a God of light. God is a God of glory. So we give thanks to it, which had made to him, which had made us partakers of the inheritance, verse 13, of the saints in light. Notice, who had delivered us, so you ought to shout, from the what? From the power of darkness. What's the power of darkness? Read Jude. By the angel that sinned, he bound them, cast them down, and bound them in chains of darkness, links of darkness. You never get out of that. Your minds can be so darkened, and we were darkened, sometimes darkened. We were stained with darkness until the light shined. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light shine in your heart, and thank God, here you are tonight, rejoicing on a Wednesday night, in the very presence of Almighty God. He delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. Where else was I? In Hebrews? I finished. Okay, let me close out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Help me. Verse 21 says, For since by man came death, that's Adam. For Hebrews, where am I? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So death, the devil had a plan to bring death, right, through Adam. But God had a better plan to bring life, light, and immortality to life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 22 says, quickly, for as in Adam all die, but we are not in Adam anymore. We are not in Adam. He translated us and he raised us up out of death, out of the first Adam. And in Ephesians 2, he quickens us by the Holy Ghost. He quickens us by the Spirit of life. God sent the life in our soul and in that dead body of Adam. How he came, a race, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Here we are tonight, the lights, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. You are a light. You're not in darkness, but you're the light of lights. That's why you can rejoice. And don't let the devil fool you. Don't let the devil make fool out of you. Amen. And that's why when we go on Facebook, we don't post foolishness and junk and worldly material. We don't get caught up in anything like that. We don't look at those stuff. We go forward and we mind our own business. And we preach Christ and Him crucified. We don't mind what somebody else do. That's their problem. And we're not fighting against anybody. We are just preaching the word of God, which is able to save your soul and to deliver you. Preach the gospel. The Bible said, be instant in season and out of season. Exhort, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. And you know when you hear the word of God that you need to repent. You know that you need to change. You need to make it right with God. You know the Holy Ghost touch you. And whoever I'm talking to tonight, there is a God that will set you free. Whoever I'm talking to tonight, there's a kingdom that's coming. Thy kingdom come. Whoever I'm talking to you tonight, there's a resurrection, a hope that's set before us. Whoever we are talking to tonight, there is a second coming that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. Our loving Jesus Christ is coming back. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever. So it goes on in closing. For it says, as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Next verse. But every man, notice, in his own order. All right. Notice, I want you to follow me here, idea. Can you follow me? Every man in his own order. Number one, first, Christ. Christ, the first fruit from the dead. Christ, the first fruit by the resurrection. He became the first fruit of them that slept. Every man in his own order. First, you had the order of Christ, and he came out first. Amen. He went and he destroyed death. He defies death. He made a hope and show of them. And oh death, where's your sting? But the next step now, when he raised from the dead, he began a righteous race on the day of Pentecost. Yes. He began a righteous holy nation on the day of Pentecost, a brand new race. Not like the first Adam, but he resurrected out of the first Adam a race. And here we are tonight, chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. We died in Adam, but he raised us up. So he first in the order, but every man in his own order. Christ was in an order 2,000 years ago. He came up alive. That was his order. But our order is coming. Christ the first fruits, but afterwards, 2,000 years or so later, afterwards, right now, coming up ahead of us, that's what I'm writing about. That's what we're excited and talking about. Just ahead of you, it's your turn. It will be your turn, right? It will be your turn to be raised or to be born of the resurrection. Why? You have one more birth, and that's to be born of the resurrection. Jesus says to them that ask him about the seven brothers, that this one woman, and she killed them all. See, and then she went and she died. Whose wife will she be? Neither. Nobody's going to have her, because in the resurrection, they neither marry nor give in marriage, but they have the nature of angels. They don't want to have a family. They only want God. Amen. Their nature is to serve God. So it tells us that, well, that's the resurrection that's just ahead of us. Amen. One more birth, and it's the birth of the resurrection. Don't stop now. You have to go on and be born of the resurrection. Say, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then afterwards they that are Christ when? At his coming. At his coming, you have the resurrection and the second coming. The second coming introduce and bring forth the first resurrection. And the first resurrection, along with the second coming, introduce the kingdom of God. That little stone that God has been putting together that's going to smite the image of the beast and bring it down. Hallelujah. And that stone will become a great nation. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then, all right, notice now, then come at the end. Let me explain. So what do we have? We have Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, that they are Christ, that two resurrection right there. Then there's a final resurrection. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, okay, there is, then come at the end. The Revelations 20, I saw a great white throne and multitudes stood small and great before him. That's the final resurrection. But blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. So the first resurrection breaks the power of second death. That's why you want to be in the first resurrection, where second death has no power over you. Somebody say amen. Somebody say glory to God. Then when the last enemy that is to be destroyed is death and hell, death and hell is cast into the lake of fire, because there's no more people to die. They're all dead. The devil is gone. Everybody's gone that doesn't love God. Okay? Dead and hell is cast into the lake of fire. And that is the second death. The last death. There's appointed unto man wants to die. First death. You can die first death is okay, because there's a resurrection from first death. But there's no resurrection from the last death, the final death, second death. Okay? So the rest of the dead live not again. If you miss the first resurrection, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. I don't want to be so long. I want God. So we want to get into the first resurrection, into the kingdom of Almighty God. This is for every man. You're going to be in the first resurrection, or you're not going to be in the first resurrection. There's no going around. There's no going around. You're either in the first resurrection and live with Christ and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But if you're not, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. That's the final resurrection. And after that, there's no more resurrection. Then the eternal, then come at the end. After there's no more enemy, Christ delivers up the kingdom to God, the Father. And he put down all rules and all authority and power. They destroyed. They're gone. They're over. And then now Jesus will submit to the Father. And here is what God did. Here's what's going to happen. Then you're going to have the everlasting. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting door. And God's going to open up the everlasting door of eternity. And then we're going to step out there with Jesus Christ by his side. And God will embark on another program. But this time, not with fallen men, but with resurrected sons and daughters of God, with the likeness and the image of Almighty God. Amen. So give the Lord praise now.